Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we introduce you to two individuals who were making changes in the golf world. Charlie Bross from Pennsylvania and Rye Stinson from Maryland. So stay tuned to get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad you'd be along. This hour, we wanted to feature two guys doing different things in the golf realm. Both businessmen, both looking out for your best interest and give you the best opportunity to play the best golf that you can. We start in Pennsylvania, Reading, Pennsylvania, of all things, like the railroad, you know, the Reading Railroad. Yeah, that's where we are. We find Charlie Bross, who is an entrepreneur. He is a proprietor, and he is the mastermind behind Swing Evolutions Indoor Golf Center. Now, the Swing Evolutions is interesting upon itself, and let's welcome Charlie to the show first and foremost. Charlie, thanks for making time to come on the show. It's great to talk with you. Eddie Pell speaks very highly of you, so we said, hey, let's get Charlie on this show.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
Well, so I'm talking to Eddie Pells a number of weeks ago, and before he came on the show, he says, I'm taking a drive. Where are you going? Oh, I'm going up to Reading, Pennsylvania. What are you doing in Reading, Pennsylvania? I'm putting in this golf turf for putting. Like, okay, I know you've been involved with that for a number of years. I know you have that great estate in Austin, everything. You know, what are you doing? Well, I'm working in Reading, Pennsylvania. And I'm thinking, what's going on in Reading that we're missing out on? Because I have friends like Mark Sheftick outside of Philadelphia and Pennsylvania, obviously Marion and some great, well-known, really old golf courses that are just renowned properties. And then you have something that Charlie has been working on. And Charlie, why you pick Reading? That's your hometown, or you said, hey, let's circle, take a map and put a big circle and throw a dart?
Yeah, so I grew up in Lebanon, which is a stone's throw from Reading. Went to school in Reading, got a job in Reading, got married in Reading. So, I kind of fell in love with the area. It's a great area, central to a lot of big cities. It's a great spot.
You left out Road the Railway in Reading, but you probably have done that, but the choo-choo goes by. But let's talk about this Swing Evolutions project that you have going on. It's open, and it's got miniature golf, which is on a pristine, professional-like turf, which was interesting to us, and you got all these simulators. And these days, simulators are some of the hottest things in the land of golf. The golf world really has taken on a new life when it comes to the simulators. Guys will go into PGA Superstore or wherever the simulators are around, or maybe they have them at home and such, but it's this whole segment of the market that did not used to exist.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It took a while for it to catch on. But now any PGA event you turn on, you see the guys warming up on the range. They all have their launch monitors right next to them. So it was a tough sell in the beginning for people to trust the numbers, trust the data that they were getting. But if the pros are using them and trust them, it's got to be spot on.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the launch monitor, because we got ShotScope, and that has come out with a new, really reasonably priced launch monitor, because obviously that's a part of the business that people like to get into with the technology. And also companies have been very expensive up to this point for that kind of technology.
Yeah, for sure. When I first got into the market or into the business, there were a handful of big name players out there. You got your Foresight, the TrackMans, So there really wasn't a whole lot of lower end launch monitors that were available for personal use. It's definitely come a long way. There's a lot more vendors out there now, which has definitely brought the price point down quite a bit.
So we're talking to Charlie Bross, who is the brain thrust behind Swing Evolutions. They're located in Berks County, the premier golf indoor facility with simulators. And actually, I heard that somebody's actually working on phase three for it. So are you in like a strip mall, or what is the layout? So somebody says, I'm going to go to Reading. You know, I'm coming into Philly to visit some friends. Let's take a ride over to Reading. What are they going to walk into?
We are located in a strip mall. We basically have a front entrance that you walk into. Everything's accessible right through that front door. You check in at the reception desk, and to the left is pristine 18 holes of indoor mini golf. Looking down the hallway, we have 15 total simulator bays that are kind of laid out in little sections. So we have kind of quadrants. We have different types of bays available. We have regular bays, advanced bays, and premium bays, all at different price points to help meet the needs of pretty much any budget that's out there. That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
So you mentioned you get married in Reading, Pennsylvania. You go to the wife at some point and say, this is what I want to do. And she says, Charlie, either you're out of your mind, are you out of your mind, or what's the next step?
Yeah, so it was actually, I was a computer programmer before this. And I spent a lot of time working remotely, constantly had the Golf Channel on streaming in the background, of course. I saw an ad for a SkyTrack launch monitor, and saw the capabilities of that, saw the price point, which, you know, earlier conversation, we talked about the big players and they were all, you know, $20,000-$25,000 entry points, whereas SkyTrack came in at $6,000 or $7,000. I forget the exact price, but it was definitely more in the range where, I could investigate it. I just saw it. I thought it'd be a great business idea. I thought people would love the technology, love the ability to practice at home, play courses at home, set up a little test scenario or a test environment in my garage, and had some friends over just to test the viability of it. It all worked great. They all had a great time, and at that point, I was like, okay, let's do it.
Well, I'm feeling like Charlie's friend group probably got exponentially larger after this venture.
Yes, indeed. Made a lot of new friends, a lot of good friends along the way.
Well, that is what this game does for people and two people along the way.
Yes,
so
sure.
Totally can relate to that, Charlie. But it's a huge venture. How many square feet are we talking about?
So the first location, I started off with 9 simulator bays, and that was in a 7,500 square foot location. 3 years into it, I actually had a bunch of empty space, kind of waiting area up front. So I decided to add a couple more bays. So then we went up to 11 bays. And then, the space next to us became available. And we took over that space. So now we're up to about close to 19,000 square foot.
Okay. So what's next, and what do you do to fill the space?
Good and bad. What I'm finding out is the simulator business is very seasonal, very weather dependent. We just opened up the new side with 15 bays, in December. December 16th was our first day. And in the last 3 months, we've still had to turn away, a bunch of people, on a day-to-day basis. So, like we mentioned earlier, the technology is definitely catching on. People are accepting it. People are willing to come in and have a great time playing rounds over the winter. You know, they don't have to try and relearn their swings come springtime. It's definitely a seasonal. I'm one of the only guys probably in the world other than weathermen that hope for bad weather. Bring on the rain and snow and cold, windy temperatures, right? So that's kind of where the mini golf evolved. Needed a way to kind of get people in here, earn some money over the summer, over the nice days. We decided to add the mini golf, add in the cafe with soft serve ice cream, some to go food. So hopefully that'll help to fill the space over the summer as well.
Well, you picked a good spot because Pennsylvania has sketchy weather at best. Now, you know, go up in June for the U.S. Open and things like that. It's usually pretty nice, although not every day is necessarily nice. But wintertime, I would think that, you might be able to open up another one pretty soon because that Pennsylvania weather is dicey at best, Charlie.
Yes, I agree 100%.
So I want to talk about in our next segment the project that went on for the golf putting green. But how did you come upon meeting Eddie Pels?
So I actually met Eddie Pels through Paul Jansen and Himalayas Golf. So Himalayas Golf was the contractor that actually did the mini golf kind of design and did the base work for it. He was very excited about the project. This was their first indoor. They've done a bunch of outdoor mini golf courses like this, but this was the first indoor. So he kind of wanted to bring in kind of the A-team, to make sure we got a good product out there that could set a standard going forward.
So what kind of budget did you set up for this idea or dream of yours for this swing evolutions?
So the expansion involved adding a handful more bays, adding a cafe, and then adding the mini golf. And I really didn't have any idea on how much that would cost until I started doing some research. It's quite an investment to do that. There's nothing like that in the area. Hardly anything, if any, that combine the indoor golf simulators with an indoor mini golf. So I think the return should be pretty quick to turn around. So
did you have investors for this, or did you just make a lot of smart moves and a lot of money in software design?
I wish. No, I actually wound up spending a couple months in doing all that research and building a business plan and went through the SBA to get the funding for that.
Oh, that's super. It's a great story. And this is out to the masses now. So when somebody hears this in Washington State or in Texas or wherever they may be, they're like, Charlie's got a great idea. So maybe Charlie better get some trademarks and patents and stuff like that on there. But we're with Charlie Bross. He is the mastermind behind Swing Evolutions. It's an indoor golf center in Reading, Pennsylvania, where, the weather can be crappy. We'll be back with Charlie after this break.
Hooked it. Ooh. Sliced it.
Shanked it.
Towed it.
Snapped it.
Chunked it. That is not good. Hair piece.
Knockwurst.
Fat box.
Kitty litter.
That's in the drink.
The drink.
The drink. Strip steak.
You make the language.
Lumberyard.
We make the rules.
Look out.
We're the USGA for the good of the game.
Oh! That's wet.
We are back introducing you to Charlie Bross. He is the mastermind behind Swing Evolutions. It is Burke County's premier indoor golf. Well, that's what his people say. You know, we'll be the judge of that eventually when we get to Reading, Pennsylvania. But from that standpoint, you do have to be smart enough to say, I need people to come inside, and you know, I need to have it in a place where the weather would be a little sketchy year round. No matter what, the wind may blow. You know, it's a whole different environment when you're working with a simulator than on a driving range.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, there's so many variables to outside being outside. You know, it's always sunny and 70 degrees inside. You never have to worry about that. But from a golf simulator and practice perspective, it makes so much more sense to use a simulator. And the reason for that is, you know, when you're outside, you go to a traditional driving range, you're hitting, you know, driving range golf balls that have been hit thousands and thousands of times. The condition of them are unknown. You know what I mean? You could hit a good ball that'll go 50 yards further than a dead ball. You know, and the balls on the market right now, there's so much differentiation between balls for different swing speeds, different calibers of player. So, you know, if you're not using the right ball for you, it's going to make a big difference. And that's where the simulators come into play. If you're trying to dial in your numbers, using the right ball for you, you know, will help you to dial those numbers in. And you can't do that on the range. I mean, you're going to go through a dozen of your Callaway, you know, chrome softs in about 5 minutes. So yeah, that's a huge advantage to practicing. You know, you don't have to deal with the variables of the weather. You know, in PA, the summers do get hot. You know, you go out in the range 5 minutes in a hot, humid day, you're already worn out. And then your practice session, you know, goes in the gutter, cause you're getting tired. You start swinging lazy, you know, in the air conditioned, climate controlled, you know, it just makes total sense.
Charlie, it's like you've been a golfer for a long time. Maybe this is why it's the vision came to him for this Swing Evolutions in Reading, Pennsylvania. I'm glad you brought up the golf ball, because that is a huge issue, what you just talked about. But also, when people go to a driving range, they have no idea really how far they're hitting the ball, what the flight looks like, the distance. You know, and I have had a tendency to scope. You know, I take the laser out to get an idea what the target is, but even then you're never really sure. But I will say I've been impressed with some municipalities that have put TrackMan and that kind of technology at the driving range. That's brilliant to me.
Right.
There's an investment there, but I've heard people rave about it, and I've been at places watching them do it, and the reaction, even newer golfers are just so appreciative and astounded, because that's instant feedback, and then now everything's app-based and everything else. So that kind of technology outside is paramount as well. You fortunately have taken it inside, and with the simulators, which is a whole different part of the planet, you know, you can get a lot of feedback with that. You don't even have to. I know the simulators that I've worked, I don't usually play rounds of golf on them, but I will, especially if they have, I don't know if yours has cameras or not, but usually you get a couple video views, and you say, oh, I'm coming a little over the top, or this is where my setup is, and that kind of thing. So I think that information is invaluable for sure.
Yeah, for sure. You know, and you know, if you have a chance, I know you said you haven't played any rounds indoors on the simulators, but you know, it's during the regular outdoor golf season. You know, it's more focused on golf. You know, you're playing the course, you're playing against the course, you're playing against yourself, trying to get better, trying to shoot lower, save strokes here and there. You know, when you bring that inside, you know, even if you're golfing with a group of guys outside, you golf with that same group inside, it's more of a social atmosphere. It's definitely a lot more fun being inside. You know, if you think about it, when you're on a golf course, you know, if you're in a foursome, you both hop in your carts, you know, two in each cart, you hit your shot, you drive to your ball, hop in the car, drive to the next ball, hit your shot. There's really no time to interact with your group.
Yeah, that's a good point.
In the simulators, you hit your shot, you come back, you grab a drink, you can chat, you can make fun of the guys that are golfing in your group. You know what I mean? There's a lot more social aspect of being inside.
Yeah, exactly. And this is not Topgolf, but, you know, you get the idea, inside. Charlie, it's been great to have you on the show. Heading to the bottom of the hour, and we'll be back.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga Gunga Galunga.
Welcome back as we start our second half hour of the show. Now we turn to more of a dynamic that people deal with every day. A number of, well, I don't know how many weeks ago it was. You know, Mark Sheftick is a regular contributor to this show because he's a successful young guy. He's got great lineage. His dad, Ted, is a PGA professional. And every once in a while, Shefty says, you got to meet this guy. You got to meet this guy. You got to meet this guy. Because, you know, that's the way Mark rolls up the hill. And a number of weeks ago, he mentioned this guy, Rye Stinson. And I'm intrigued, and Ryan and I have spoken in the past. Well, we finally got him through his busy day to get him on the show. And I'll let him tell you about what is going on with his part of the golf world, because to me, it's pretty fascinating, and it hits close to home. And we welcome Rye Stinson to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. Rye, thanks for making time to come on. Look forward to talking.
Hey, it's an absolute pleasure. Really appreciate that, the intro. I kind of wear a few unique hats in this golf and healthcare space. Sometimes it feels a little confusing, but at the same time, hopefully it's something that could be helpful to your listeners and something pretty relatable. But my clinical day at Johns Hopkins, I'm a clinical specialist, occupational therapist, and certified hand therapist. What all that jargon basically means is I help people recover after all sorts of complex and maybe less complex upper extremity injuries, post-operative and non-operative, and so on and so forth. And certainly work with plenty of different athletes and help them return to play and that kind of thing. But I'm a pretty passionate golfer myself. I'm an old college player and mid-am. And It means a lot to me to see people return to do things that they really love to do and start to build up a, we'll call it a golfer rehab and performance program. So it's always wonderful to see people who have or are currently dealing with injuries return to something they love, but it's also pretty cool on our end to get to share some of our knowledge and background to folks who aren't injured and be able to pass that along. I think it's kind of cool that you shouldn't necessarily have to have an injury to all of a sudden be working on some really positive things. And then my other leg, I love to do quite a bit of teaching and education and such, and have found a lot of joy and passion through that through my own LLC called Outperform Golf, where I get to spend some time with some really amazing golf instructors like Mark Sheftick. We do these awesome combined sessions where, so imagine you're seeing your, let's say, health fitness person at the same time, the medical wing at the same time as your teaching pro to see like, hey, well, what's going on? Like, is my body in the way of me doing this? Are we choosing the right things? Are we going after the right stuff that matches what my body can best do at this moment? And then what's our plan moving forward? To me, that's really similar to what I do, in the clinical world. So one of the really awesome things I do on Wednesdays is I do a same day clinic with one of our awesome hand surgeons, meaning we see people together. So it's just a ton of communication. So you walk in and you get your, you know, surgery and surgical consults and evaluations and your hand therapy and rehabilitative consults and splinting all at the same time. so everyone's on the same page and we're not wasting extra time or they said this, they said that. Or so I love clearing that up and seeing if I can speak these languages pretty fluently, because it's a certainly a passion of mine, and it's really awesome seeing people make progress and resume things they love to do, even if they've been through quite a few things.
Well, you know, professionally speaking, it seems like you have the best of both worlds, because being a successful college player and playing at that level, that competition is there, and then to be able to help people rehabilitate whatever their injury may be. And we're looking at the professional levels, too, and guys talk about their backs and they've different things that they're dealing with. I mean, we know that a guy like Tiger Woods is a mess, and luckily to be alive because of the massive crash that he had in California, you know, putting him back together and stuff. But Justin Thomas is a pretty young guy, and he's got back issues. And you hear injuries from Rory McIlroy, and the names go on and on and on. So it doesn't just happen to us recreational players. You know, it happens across the board.
Yeah, it does. And you know, everybody's got something. And one of the things that we sort of reach and shoot for as a team at Hopkins is helping folks build up a really high adaptive capacity, meaning like when I work with somebody, I want them to come in and really learn something and take that away. We don't necessarily just dump exercises on you and here's this fix or that. We're a bit more of facilitators and educators. And I think there's a lot of folks, obviously, in the healthcare space that do that, in the golf space that do that. So I think we're just pretty proud to be part of those groups of people that do that. And that way, life can throw all kinds of things at you. And whether you're a professional golfer, a professional table tennis player, or you just picked up golf last week, There's usually a really cool way to find maybe that sweet spot, maybe that middle of the horseshoe performance zone where you can learn to stay there. Some of the most successful patients that I've ever worked with are folks that have that incredible adaptive capacity to notice when they're veering outside of those zones, and they have a really good way of working their way back. And I think that's pretty cool.
I told you Ry Stinson's a pretty interesting guy. As he joins us for this portion of Tee It Up with Keith Jones, because when you're dealing with injuries, no matter how extensive that may be, you learn so much when you do physical therapy. I probably could be somebody's assistant on a regular basis. But the thing that I found most interesting about all my years of studying physical therapy is that where you feel the pain is not where the pain originates from. And I find that fascinating, because the body itself is so fascinating, and the way it heals and what it does in everyday life. People just don't understand. Not that they take it for granted. It's just there.
Yeah. I'll say to patients quite often that our independence, our ability to do things that we want to do for ourselves, and certainly without pain, is such an underestimated, underrated thing until all of a sudden it's compromised or changed. And you're absolutely right. You know, the body is such an incredible dynamic thing. There's so many moving parts, so much stuff. And I think a lot of times we try very hard to put some labels on and explain and solve and fix and solve, which is an important part. But another part is sort of to facilitate and to try and optimize, because you're absolutely right. When it comes to pain, it can be kind of tricky. It can be all kinds of maybe subconscious dysfunctions, whether it's movement quality or some other systems contributing to onset of this, that, or the other. And putting it all together, honestly, takes a team around a patient, and certainly around an athlete or a client. I think that's a cool thing that folks at TPI and Greg Rose and so many others across the country have really modeled well. And I don't know any other better way to do it. It's the same way we do it on a clinical standpoint. So it's, you know, you don't have to do it all solo. That's for darn sure.
I'm glad you brought up my longtime friend, Dr. Greg Rose, because TPI was obviously something that developed, but he had Vantage Golf. before that, and it actually had started a golf exclusive gym, which was interesting as well. But I happened to be one of his first test dummies when he was back at Advantage Golf, and I will never ever forget that. It's always good to see him. I saw him in Orlando, but you know, he was not working on me, so that was a good thing. But from that standpoint, but
always a good thing.
You know, but really, I call him kind of the godfather, of the that part of the industry, because guys, you know, weren't all the professional golfers that I have talked to over the years, the older guys. They didn't have a sports psychologist. They didn't have a physical therapist. They didn't have, you know, this psychologist or whatever. They just went about their golfing business.
Yeah, you know, I think it's pretty empowering to the golf professional industry too. I mean, you look at the modern day lesson, and my gosh, some of them are you know, you go take a lesson with Shefty. I mean, it's just like a full motion analysis lab. You might find at Hopkins or Cleveland Clinic or something. It's incredible. And to be able to share that knowledge, it's amazing in our healthcare system. As much as we would love to talk to each other, sometimes you can very easily silo yourself out. And I think Greg saw a wonderful opportunity and example of that, and was able to make that the standard and the model that we aspire to from building around an athlete, particularly a golfer, versus a this or that. And I think when when communication opens up like that, it's such an awesome thing. I've had the privilege of learning so much and having so much respect for amazing trainers, amazing golf instructors, PGA professionals, so on and so forth. And I think those relationships, they start with this mutual respect and admiration for learning. I don't know if there's anything cooler than that from a golf industry kind of thing, and marrying that with technology and innovation is it's really cool. So yeah. I think that's pretty neat.
Yeah, it definitely drives people like you and Greg Rose and such, as we're talking to Ry Stinson of the Johns Hopkins variety, occupational therapy. Is just one of his many things that he does. And I'm impressed, doing a little bit of research, that Johns Hopkins actually has a program based around golfers.
We do. We actually have a beautiful facility. It's a very Columbia kind of thing. Columbia has so many things in it, and you're like, oh my God, that's a really cool restaurant. I thought that would be like an H&R Block or something, but we're on the second floor of this unassuming building, and we have this beautiful, you know, 100,000 plus golf simulator. We have our director, Ken Johnson, has kind of gone out of his way for a number of years to scour the world and find the latest and greatest when it comes to technology, non-pharmacological things for patients to achieve some degree of pain relief, tissue healing, so on and so forth. Like when we get something, usually a pro sports team or something in the area, we'll go get it. Like we have so much stuff, and it's just in such an unassuming place. But it's really cool. It's not a terrible place to go to work. That's for sure.
Yeah, well,
I'm very, very fortunate.
You're working there, but then you actually are able to hit the road and do some talking points and stuff with guys like Mark Sheftick. Who would have known that this happens?
He's so eager and so humble, right? Mark is such a successful player, such a successful instructor, but so eager to learn. You know, I've treated so many golfers, children of golfers, and he's just so eager I did not know that. And I approach what I do in the same sort of way, in the sense of like, I don't really myself as an expert, just somebody who's happened to have learned and made a bunch of mistakes in a really narrow field. And I think that's a really important thing. And I love being around people that are excited about learning and excited about collaborating on things. Because I wish this sort of thing existed when I was in high school or college, and you could pop in and be like, okay, well, I'm not guessing about that. I have confidence in this. You know, golf pros on the exact same page as coach there, so on and so forth, and body-wise, check, check, check. I mean, it's kind of the recipe for getting to where you want to go as efficiently as possible.
And it really has cool changed. Resource. Yeah, I mean, in the 20-plus years I've been doing this show, we've seen so many things on the horizon that have morphed, and you know, and sometimes it's a little TMI, you know, for for the people to whatever. But if you can, if you can kind of filter it and kind of pick, you know, cherry pick what's good for you and that kind of thing, it's invaluable stuff that you guys do, and it's interesting, especially in your realm, that you've taken this as it's almost like a passion project for you because golf is involved. You're like, okay, I'm in, you know, and you know the hands are so important. The hands, Toski talks about it all the time in this show, how important the hands are for the swing and everything along the way.
Yeah, they are, and you know that's something that it's one of those areas. It's a tricky thing to measure exactly the wrist, the carpus, such a complex thing. You got 8 little intercalated segments moving around. So a lot of times it can kind of be put off. I'm like, oh man, I don't want to get into all that. That's the arm. There's so much stuff. And actually, I'll share this. One of the things that inspired me to specialize in hand therapy, along with shadowing, was there's this really cool cartoon of the motor homunculus of your brain. Basically, a part of your brain that it's distributing motor function in the rest of your body. And they drew a cartoon body on top of it to show like what parts of your body the brain allocates the most in this region to. And outside of your eyes and your mouth and your face, it's your hands. And that's an amazing amount of coordination and stuff. Not many other body parts have their own language. Like we've got sign language. It's all hands, right? It's pretty incredible. So it's definitely something that I think the golf and sports industry is learning more and more about. It's just a challenging thing to measure. And that's actually something hopefully we'll be working with Greg Rose on and have some ideas of adding that into some of the specialty tests and exams and screens and things that are distributed to make some of that stuff make some sense and make it a little bit easier for folks to understand.
Yeah, well, that's good. If Greg is, it's the same way. He has this inquisitiveness about him. How can we do this better, or how can we get to whatever? And the TPI system has been so successful that they've been working with non-golf athletes for now a number of years, baseball players, absolutely, et cetera, soccer, and the list is pretty extensive from that standpoint because it does translate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if when we're seeing somebody clinically, like you need to see them as an entire person. Like I usually will say in talks and things and teaching and so on and so forth, some of the best hyper specialized folks have been around. Actually, they look globally a heck of a lot more than you would think, and then they narrow down, and just vice versa. Some of the best generalists actually have the capacity to narrow and look very, very distinctly. But the applications are kind of, we're there with everything. This is what we would do, the same sort of thing we would do with anybody who walks in the door. We want to have a good understanding of them as a person and them as a mover. How are they moving around in so many different ways? And one of the really cool things that I love about my profession in occupational therapy is the essence of it is being able to see people participate in functional activities. I love being able to have a chance to observe what it is that you're doing.
With Rye Stinson, we'll be back to wrap up the show. We are back for our final segment. It's been a pleasure to spend time with a couple of guys making difference in the golf industry, Charlie Bross and now Rye Stinson of Johns Hopkins fame. Occupational therapy is his specialty, but golf is his passion, and able to bring both things together, which is phenomenal. And leave it to Johns Hopkins, who I'm a fan of now, going through some things just a few years ago You know, to have the golf program there at Hopkins, that's pretty special.
Yeah, I think it's pretty cool. It's just such an awesome way. We have every specialist that you could imagine, right? Like, it's such an amazing institution. All of these kind of huge, big name places, your Hopkins, your Mayo Clinic, Brigham Women's, so on and so forth. So many incredible options for patients and that kind of thing. And I think a cool thing is to be able to leverage some of that stuff, because, you know, when we see somebody come in, if there's a need for this, that, or the other, chances are we probably have somebody who's equally as passionate as I am about what I do and what they do, and getting folks to the right providers at the right time is always such a huge challenge, but it's such an amazing reward when it does come to fruition. And that kind of thing is pretty cool. So.
Is that what gives you the most satisfaction, or what is it that gives you the most satisfaction?
Oh, you mean aside from like a really great high long iron on a windy day or something? No, I have seen folks participate in things that are meaningful to them, and that this could be, you know, the college golfer who says, "Look, I don't care. I just want to play my last season. I want to do whatever I can to physically be able to do it, and that's great." Or somebody who's coming in to see me and they just had this nerve transfer, this tendon repair, so on and so forth, this tumor removed, you name it, and they would love to be able to button their shirt or hold on to a putter or whatever that is. And being able to leverage any and available knowledge, equipment, clinical expertise. You know, I'm surrounded by so many people that are just brilliant. And if we can take all of that stuff and put it together and help somebody find their magic and get to enjoy that piece, then, I mean, who wouldn't want to do that? That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty true on that. You said a couple of words that I am unfamiliar with. It. You said nerve transfer. I think you said that. What is that? I'm intrigued. What is that?
Oh, nerve transfer and repairs and things. So sometimes for a number of different reasons, whether it's post-traumatic or after complications from X, Y, or Z, you could have a nerve that is not functioning anymore. And there are different types of transfers where you could take a functioning nerve or part of that nerve or a fiber of that nerve and move it over. And we have a number of very outrageously talented surgeons who are performing these types of procedures in different situations. But in the world of hand therapy, we'll see things from ranging from that to tendon repairs to, you know, your everyday tendinopathy. It's just such a wide range of things. But the whole concept of this added specialty, like why hand therapy? Like, my real specialty is everything from like shoulder to hand kind of stuff is the day. And the real purpose or concept of that is there's a need to be awfully familiar with some of the specifics and details, either post-operative or non-operative management for some of these scenarios. Because there's a few little things that are just so critical to notice and pay attention to along the way. And that's really what the purpose of the, you know, certifications and all the blah, blah, blah stuff it means to me, is it's just sort of says the patient, hey, like, this person is really familiar with this and we've seen it over and over again, which is exactly why I think somebody would put TPI after their name. Like, hey, I'm really familiar with golfers and paying attention to how they move and connecting them with a team around them. Like, that's the whole concept. So we got such a variety of different things, but well, it certainly keeps the day interesting.
I appreciate you giving us this much time, because apparently Rye is a busy, busy boy. I didn't realize it. How busy, 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 but he certainly is, and he still gets into a little of his golf too, so we're very pleased about that. Fascinating stuff, Rye. I really appreciate it. Rye Stinson of Johns Hopkins fame, my guest on T.W. Keith Jones. Hope you enjoyed the hour. We're going to bring you a couple of guys that are changing the way people are thinking about the game. Charlie Bross in Pennsylvania and Rye Stinson at Johns Hopkins. We're out of time. Get out there and practice your game. practice, practice, take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.